Velkommen til en ny episode av Drinkfeed, og i dag handler det om brunt brennvin, der vi skal snakke om whisky, og i studio her så har vi med fine folk i dag. Jeg har med aller først så har vi jo Steinar Jensen. Velkommen, Steinar.
Tusen takk, alltid kjekt å være her i Drinkfeed.
Du er jo, skal vi si, det faglige alibiet når det kommer til whisky.
Jeg har hatt mine glass med whisky gjennom årene, ja.
Nå er du jobber jo med, er det Norsk Bartenderforening, er du fortsatt sånn superpresident og sånn allmektig overhod og livets lys der?
La oss kalle det president, som er stillingen og ja, beskrivelsen, for å si det sånn.
Ja, ok. I dag skal vi snakke om en whisky som er, jeg må si at jeg tror ikke jeg har smakt så veldig mye whisky med denne finishen som vi kommer tilbake til, men så den er litt spesiell.
Den er veldig spesiell, og så er jo den dessertvinen som jeg virkelig har vært på dette fatet før. Og så er jo det vin i her i en verden der vi lar whiskyen snakke, og ikke mer spesifikk aldersbetegnelse.
Nei, ikke sant, for det her er ikke noe sånn der så og så gammel whisky eller noe sånt nå i det hele tatt. Men vet du hva, vi har jo med oss et menneske her som kan veldig mye om dette her, og nå må vi slå over på engelsk.
Det gjør vi.
It's an honor to welcome you to the show. Tell me a bit of yourself.
I'm very happy to be here, first of all. Very happy to meet you guys. I'm Laura. I'm French, as you can hear. And I'm working for Tully Bardin for 1 year now. But in the whiskey and the spirit industry for a while now. I guess maybe you have some question about why I'm French and I'm working for...
Yes, when you mention it, I just wonder how a French girl ended up in Scotland talking about whiskey.
So in fact, and you will understand why when we'll speak more about the history of Tully Bardin, but Tully Bardin at the moment is owned by a French company called Terroir Distillers. We own several distilleries. We own cognac distilleries. We own whiskey distillery in Ireland also. But the first one we acquired was in 2011, and it was Tully Bardin in the Highlands. So that's why I'm French. I'm part of the French group.
Okay, but the Tully Bardin is, originally it was a beer brewery.
Absolutely.
For many hundred years, it started in the late 1400s, so it's been around for a while.
For a while. They were doing beers at this time. And there is a little story about that, which is quite funny. King James IV was going through the Highlands, and he stopped at the brewery at this time, at Tully Bardin, what is now Tully Bardin. And he bought a beer, and this beer was the first ever recorded beer purchase, so by the book. In the history.
Okay, so King James IV was the first beer customer.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's nice.
It's a king.
Why don't start with the king? Okay, but today we're going to talk about whiskey, and of course beer and whiskey are very closely related in a way, but the distillery in itself started in the 1940s something.
1947.
Almost correct.
Yes. And it started with a guy, a famous guy, who came to the brewery at this time. His name was William Delme Evans. And maybe you know his name.
Heard of it.
Maybe some people doesn't, but now you will. This guy, he's, let's say, he's a whiskey distillery builder. So that's the first distillery he built. And after this one, he built two other distilleries. Second one is Jura. And third one is Glenallachy. So the first one was Tully Bardin. And he stopped by the brewery. He saw that the brewery was just above, next to a very nice source of water, mineral water. And he say, okay, I have the greatest water and a good quality water to build a distillery just on top and turn the brewery into a distillery. So he started like that in 47.
And been making whiskey ever since. And today we're going to taste another whiskey. And Steinar, can you tell me about, because this is quite new for me with this cask finish from Sauternes. It's not that usual, is it?
No, that's pretty rare. Sherry casks and sometimes port wine cask are the most fairly used. But so Sauternes, it's I'm pretty excited to say it mildly.
Yeah, because the finish here, the wine itself that's been on the cask is quite sweet, as most people know, and it's a blend of different white wines and the finishing off in this cask to get it the right taste for it. And most of you will remember as or know it as a dessert wine, typical. So I think we're going to taste it soon. But do you have anything to add to the process of making this whiskey? Because Tulle Bardin 225 Sauternes finish is the name of the whiskey we're going to taste today.
Yes, absolutely. I have plenty of things to tell you about the 225. Maybe we can start with the name. Do you know why there is this, we call it the 225 Steinar?
I would say it's the size of the barrel.
Oh, you're good. You're very good. Very smart.
I just opened the bottle now just to have the nice sound of it, you know. Just continue,
lovely.
Please.
So 225 liters, that's the size of a Sauternes barrel. And how we do that, so it's a non-age statement whiskey, single malt whiskey. Within the range of Tulle Bardin, the core range, so this one is part of the core range, we have one single malt, which is called the Sauvergne, which is a first fill bourbon cask. We only use first fill for all the whiskey we do. It's always first fill bourbon cask because we want to get from the bourbon cask the most of it and the most flavor out of it. So the wood finish, like this one, the Sauternes, is basically it's a Sauvergne plus 1 year in a Sauvergne cask for the finish. So it's a non-age statement, but we can't say that it's more or less depends on the years because we always want to have the same tasting profile, but more or less it's 6 years in first fill bourbon cask plus 1 year in a Sauternes cask.
Can I ask you, do you sell the other, when you done your first fill, do you sell them then or use it inside the company?
No, after that, we never reuse the bourbon cask, so we sell that to the market.
You just distribute it elsewhere?
Yes, absolutely.
While you've been talking, I have been very busy. I have poured you a little drum with the Tulle Bardin 225, and I've also been smelling a bit. Steinar, you can start. What do you smell?
Well, first of all, it comes with a lot of fruit that I can imagine myself if in front of the fireplace, spending more time and trying to find the distinguished fruits in here. I also get, of course, the obvious one with the oak and touch of vanilla. But what I really like about this one is that it has a kind of like a hazelnut nutty touch to the nose.
I also get a nutty touch, and I get a not a very strong mocha feeling, but I will describe it as a light milk chocolatey sort of smell.
Yeah,
sort of a pleasant. I want to know more about this, and I can't wait to taste because that's the next one out. Can you tell me what I should expect when I taste it?
Probably you can expect to have something very smooth, very fruity. I don't want to spoil anything, but you might have a tropical fruit at the tasting. Let me know if you get it.
Tropical indeed. I have a lot of, I would describe it as mango sort of jammy, a lot of those tropical fruit, blend of a lot of fruits actually.
It's incredible complex, so you can find pineapple. I find also tastes kind of acidity, so you get the passion fruit. Wow.
the tropical fruit here is so prominent. It's like I'm drinking a sort of mango cantaloupe jam. It's so really, really puts me on an island in the Pacific somewhere. It's totally different from the nose.
Yeah, and it also has the quality that it's complex and very drinkable at the same time, which is kind of unique for whiskey. So this is very enjoyable, to say it mildly.
Yeah, it's like I'm struggling not to have another sip right away. And I'm working with to keep the after flavor in place. Yeah, while I'm talking, I don't want to talk anymore. I just want to savor this moment.
The spitting part is hard.
Well, we are professionals.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to do that. I think I'm looking at the color here. It's not that deepest of colors, but when you get the combination of the appearance of the smell with the slight all the notes that we talked about, and also this very tropical flavor, it's something else.
It's really something else. And I think also we, when we think about the Sauternes cask, it gives it a richness that is pretty unique within whiskies. And it's rich, delicious, and I would love to have some more.
Normally we just have one sip and be done with it. I think we're going to stay here for a while. So, Lorraine, what do you think about the experience we have with all the tropical fruit that you sort of introduced us to? Was it to your expectations?
Yes, I think you got it right, Steinhardt. It's absolutely what I wanted to spot is the pineapple part. We all have some different library about flavors that we know. So that's why sometimes people will get more pineapple. Sometimes they will get more mango. But the pineapple for me, from my experience, it's really present. And I love that. And you know that Sauternes, as you were saying, it's very sweet, very smooth. But within the range, this one, the 225, is not the sweetest one. It's a bit less sweet than the sherry finish. So, in fact, the Sauternes doesn't bring so much sugar to the whiskey, but it brings a lot of aromas that are, let's say, transformed into those tropical fruits character.
It's very funny you say that, because when you told us just now that it's not the sweetest, I was thinking back to how it was tasting, and it has a sort of a dry finish to it. It's a very pleasant. I find it very, very balanced, actually.
Extremely balanced. And to find that complexity takes you in such a different direction for each sip. You're onto a small journey into it. Like, so you first off, you get the alcohol, then comes the complexity, and then it's nearly like drinking gold.
Drinking gold, indeed. You beat me to it, because the slogan here actually on the bottle says a drop of pure Highland gold. Highland gold says on the bottle. Would you like to to take that further?
Yes, I can explain you why. In fact, I was telling you that Tullibardine is located in the Highlands, but the low part of the Highlands, next to some small mountains that are called the O'Shill Hills. And the O'Shill Hills were very well known in the past to have gold in them. So we were mining gold in the O'Shill Hill. Unfortunately, there is no more gold in the O'Shill Hill. So you can't go and try to get the gold from the rock, but you can get the gold from the distillery.
Yeah, well, and depends on the purpose, but you can't drink gold, but you can drink this one.
Yes.
Where do you think that the Tullibardine is moving forward? Do you have any plan for topping this one? Do you go in the direction of easy to drink, or would you prefer to please the nerds, the ones that are quite difficult to please?
In fact, we have both, because within the range of Tullibardine, we have the wood finish, this one. We also have a Burgundy finish, which is called the 228. You know why? The Sherry, which is called the 500. You know why? And then we have the age statement, so the 15 and the 18 years old. The 18 years old is quite new. I think we launched that 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago. And it's, let's say, it's a marriage between sherry cask and first fill bourbon cask. And after that, we have what we call the limited edition. And the limited edition is called the Marais. So that's the name of all the limited edition we do. Basically, we launch a Marais once every 2 years. Next one will be for next year. So I'm very excited about that. I have some information. I don't know if you want me to tell you or to keep the surprise for 2026.
Well, maybe a little cliffhanger. It's allowed.
That's allowed.
Okay. So... let's say that it will be something that is quite unusual for us because we'll go a bit up in the ABV.
Meaning standard?
Well, it drags me to cask strength. So we everything from 52, 54, 56, depending on how much water it, of course, exists in the liquid. But I'm getting excited about that because I like whiskeys at that alcohol strength. And I think it brings a lot of complexity and power to it.
I think it was a lovely experience. And I think it's time for Stein and I to wrap it up. And it was a real pleasure to hear you talk about your distillery and the history with the King and everything. And we are going to go back to Norwegian for a while. Ja, Stein, det var bra dette her, Marika.
Ja, dette var stas. Og det er jo det som er så spennende med, hvis vi ser på hele whiskyområdet, at de er i utvikling og lager nye utgaver, så ikke nødvendigvis må stå 10, 12, 14 eller 16 år på flasken, men det er mer whisky sitt uttrykk som kommer frem.
Ikke sant? Det er jo hva vi vil ha som betyr noe, ikke nødvendigvis hva som står, på, står utenpå her.
Ikke sant? Og der er vi som forbrukere, da, både profesjonelle og amatører, tror jeg vi blir litt...
Blir vi lurt? Blir vi liksom blenda?
Vi blir ikke lurt, men vi er så vant til å kalle det for en aldersbetegnelse. Så jeg liker dette veldig godt, og så la smakene, lukten og opplevelsen tale for seg selv.
Ja, men ikke sant? Her har du da 225 som da antall liter på tønna som de har hatt det på. Det er jo veldig beskrivende. Da vet du at dette er klart på store barikker eller bittesmå sånne handyfat. Dette er et standard vinfat, liksom.
Det er veldig tålmodighet.
Du, mye vil du betalt for den her, da? En flaske, 43% alkohol, sånn som vi har beskrevet den.
Jeg hadde lett betalt 900.
Oi.
Dette er skikkelig kvalitet.
Da, altså. Da har jeg glad nyhet til den. Den er lista på Polet til 749 penger.
Mm, det er en god pris.
Vi må nesten si at det er litt røverkjøp nesten.
Ja, det er faktisk et røverkjøp. For det er, jeg har smakt mange whiskyer som ligger over 1000-lappen som ikke er i nærheten av dette.
Og vi nevner selvfølgelig ikke navn på det.
Nei, nei.
Vet du hva, skal vi takke damen, og så sier vi til dere der ute at hold øynene oppe for Tullibardin. Mm. Tullibardin? Jeg prøver å si på skotsk. og absolutt, hvis du allikevel skal ut og kjøpe en flaske, så er ikke dette det dummeste du kan kjøpe. So we're gonna finish off here now, and thank you very much for attending Drinkfeed, and I hope to see more of the Tullibardin whiskey range in the years to come.
Thank you very much, Tom. Thank you, Steinar.
Merci.
For everything. Merci beaucoup.
Ta vare på dere selv.